CliffCentral.com.
Mabs and I just talking about poor Bram Matthews, who said the original. Bram Matthews used to work at 5FM. He was... I can't remember what his job description was, but he would basically... He'd haul music up and down. And like in the days when music wasn't digital and it was on CD, and we had a playlist that you would play off CD, and there'd be some music compiler who'd actually put together. I mean, I remember I'd arrive for a show and there'd be a box for me. And I'd have to play CDs 1 through 26 or whatever it was. And they'd have the track numbers written on a piece of paper for me. And it'd all be like in a tray. And then I would have to fill in on a form which songs I'd skipped or where there'd been a problem with one of the CDs or whatever. And then Bram Matthews would come in and he'd collect the stuff and he'd take it upstairs. God knows what he'd do with it. But there was a big room with like a safe door on it that all the music was stored in. I wonder how much music there still is in there, whether they still use that room. It's just unbelievable. Anyway, so that was the guy who used to say, it's Poo Zat Thursday. And Tabo and I picked up on the fact early on that he had a drinking problem, but like a severe drinking problem. Like Bram Matthews was drunk like at 5 a.m.
Well, he had the disease that is alcoholism.
Damn right.
Yeah.
And he was proud of it. He didn't let that hold him back. He was thrilled to be an alcoholic. And we'd give him a big bottle of something for every birthday or whatever, and he'd love it. We were enablers.
Subtle enablers, yeah.
Anyway, so I can't. He can't be alive, right? It's not possible.
Sure.
Bram Matthews. Oh, what a guy. All right, so it is Puzza Thursday. Good morning, everybody. Justice will join us by phone a little bit later on for the Burning Platform. We've got a very interesting person coming in a bit later on, and I'll tell you why. You may have noticed somewhere along the way that intellectual property is quite a big deal. Like, if you own the patent or the design or something else around a major discovery, you're pretty much in the money. You're sorted. Like, if you can devise some kind of instrument that can take salt water and turn it into fresh water, and it's cheap and you can carry it on your back, you've pretty much written yourself a check for a couple of $100 million.
Yeah.
Right there and then.
Which will probably grow over time.
Right. But you have to register it and have it, and you have to have the lawyers control the intellectual property for you. Otherwise, some other dick's going to come along, steal your idea, and before you know it, you have zero. And that guy's got all the money.
But are laws in this country as strong as what we sometimes see on TV?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like copyright law, for example. Are those very strong here?
Oh, yeah. So we can speak to someone called Elaine. Elaine Bergenthrin, she's going to come in and see us, and she's going to tell us about patents and intellectual property laws and all kinds of really, really interesting stuff. And I know it sounds on the face of it like it's not very exciting, but she'll tell us about Oscar Pistorius, who registered his name as a trademark for prosthetics once.
Huh.
Yeah. The Zika virus was patented in February of 2016. You want to know who patented that?
Guy invented it?
No, well, it wasn't invented by humans, but the first human to isolate it would have wanted to register it as his discovery.
And also, like, whoever patented the word Zika can have it on all their products, where
Correct.
Other people now can't.
Right.
And that person who has, like,
Zika... I don't know that Zika is what you want on your products.
No, like Zika protection spray.
Yeah.
No one else can have that.
If you've got a protection against this thing you've patented, what everyone's going to say, guards against that nasty mosquito disease in South America. That's not quite catchy.
She'll also tell us about how Kylie Minogue and Kylie Jenner's lawyers are at loggerheads at the moment, fighting over the name Kylie.
Huh? Well, Kylie Minogue came first. I mean,
yeah, but how's that? With fashion, entertainment, lifestyle applications. I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah,
it's really, really interesting what people do, what they try to protect. Look at the Olympics, Ben. We were talking the other day. They've basically said if you don't use this and that hashtag or you use this and that product in a tweet about the Olympics, we'll just block you.
Yeah, there was quite a funny thing about that, though. Someone actually put a parody account up, this whole Rule 40 thing.
Yes.
And then the Pope tweeted about the Olympics, and this parody account replied back saying, "You're in violation of Rule 40. Please, please refrain from using
the Pope,
these unsanctioned endorsements towards this event."
Oh, wow.
And then it got completely taken down.
Oh, I just got this email from Latoya Weaver. Hot brunette called Baby is shaving her pussy after shower. Check out the video. Should I do it?
Yeah, okay.
I'm getting more stuff like this on Twitter nowadays,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's happening. I'm telling you. It's not just me. You used to mock me and say, oh, it's because I visit a lot of crazy sites and things.
Yeah.
But you know, you get like a lot of bots on Twitter, right? And then, like the other day, it says, do you want to see my bare chest? And I was going to like retweet and reply saying, sorry, I've got a lot on today. Mm. But I thought I don't want to engage them. And then yesterday, there was another one saying, do you want to see my hot quim? What? But it's like added to me on Twitter.
Yes.
Because, you know, like I often look at people liking things from like 3 years ago, and it's like a particularly good-looking woman.
All right, but now imagine if Daniela didn't know that there were things like bots, and if she didn't understand that this was spam. Imagine if you're a husband of a wife or a boyfriend of a girlfriend, and you get home, and she's looking at your timeline that day. Hello there, guy. Want to take a look at my bare quim? Find a link on my page from Sarah Aguilar. Now, you know, if Daniela didn't know what this was, she would be thinking, oh my God, Ben's having an affair, right?
Yeah. No, she's a lot smarter than that.
But you can imagine the strain this puts on relationships, and this is just a machine spamming people.
But who uses the word quim?
I don't know.
Very old school. I mean, it's very bizarre. I've never heard that word before.
No, it's lucky you. You don't want to hear that word again. All right, let's get into some news. It's time. Here's Mabali Moloi with the news.
Can I be selfish and ask for somebody to sing to me next time, please?
You'd prefer that to this?
I like the vocal versions of the news jingle. I'm just putting it out there for more people to send in stuff. Okay. La 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 la.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yesterday was the first day of the Commission of Inquiry into Higher Education, Gareth.
Uh-oh.
Because the president established the Fees Commission after the Fees Must Fall protests last year. So all of this was happening in Pretoria, and yesterday was the first day. The Department of Higher Education and Training has conceded underfunding of universities has put pressure on institutions to raise student fees. Director General of the Department of Higher Education and Training, Gwebinkundla Qonde, says universities...
Ooh, that's a name. Give me that name again. I like that.
Wow.
Gwebinkundla.
Gwebinkundla
Qonde.
Qonde. Yo, that's a good one. I'm going to put that in my list of names whites can't pronounce. You know, I've got a list. I have a list. Do you want to see it?
Yeah, but what do you do with this
it's
list?
It's so much fun.
Do you whip it out at weddings?
At parties.
And you make the words, try and say the names.
I'm going to show you because I don't think you believe me.
Do you want me to spell this one for you?
Yeah, wait. Kundla. This is a good one. Everybody take this down. Where is my list? I've just got to find my list quickly. It'll take a second.
Hang on.
I got it. Names whites can't pronounce. No, I've actually got it. Yeah, black names whites can't say.
That's a long list. How many do you have there?
26 plus 26.
Okay.
I break it into two lists.
All right.
Okay, give me this one.
G-W-E.
G-W-E, yeah.
B-I-N.
B-I-N.
K-U-N-D-L-A.
K-U-N-D-L-A. Gwebinkundla.
And the surname is Q-O-N-D-E.
Yo. Q-O-N-D-E. I like that. Onde.
Onde says that universities are already under financial stress and their sustainability is being threatened, saying growth in student numbers without matching growth in subsidy funding has resulted in general underfunding of higher education, putting pressure on institutions to raise funds through fees and third stream income. It sounds to me like they're saying here that fees are not about to fall anytime soon.
Well, they're also saying that universities are horribly underfunded because they haven't been able to raise the fees this year.
Yeah.
So universities are going to find themselves under-resourced. They're going to have to borrow more money, which is going to put strain on the academic institutions themselves. And guess what, everybody? It's what I said at the beginning of this year when I said that you don't get anything for free. And if you do get something for free, it's probably worthless. Do you remember that? Well, you're about to get a worthless degree. And I love the way everybody in academia themselves thought, oh, no, this is not a problem. We've got to side with the students. Well, okay, all of you take a pay cut. That's how you side with the students. Bunch of professors going, well, you know, since I started my gender studies course here at this university, they've done nothing but cut my funding. Well, Ms., or woman, spelt with an X, believe it or not, you get that.
Or a Y. I need to actually keep up with all the different...
W-O-M-X-N. Don't ask me how, but that's apparently what the latest fad is in being like ultra gender studies. I don't know what it means. Maybe someone can explain this to me. But anyway, there's some professor somewhere sitting in an office right now with a fern, and they're busy going, well, you know, we've really tried with these fees must fall to sympathize and empathize with our students. And we were right there on the field protesting with them. On the front lines. And what has it got you? Now your department's about to be shut down. Good luck.
The commission also said that President Jacob Zuma will have to use his discretion regarding student fee increases for 2017.
Uh-oh. Now they're putting it firmly on him.
Oof.
So this is going to earn him even more hatred.
Should they not put it on Blade?
Well, who's Blade? I mean, you know. What's Blade got to do with it? What's Blade got to do with it? Blade is so unimportant right now. The president doesn't like him. Nobody likes Blade. He's out in the cold. He's found himself all alone, so alone. And that for years and years and years of bending over and kissing his own backside in front of the president for entertainment.
But hang on. Do you remember when the president eventually decided that there will be 0% in fees? 0% increase in fees. Yeah. Wasn't that for 2017?
Yeah, but this is exactly what they're doing. They're projecting it ahead now. And they're saying
that he'll now have to use his discretion regarding the increase for next year.
So guess what? The students are going to be protesting again because the president himself is going to be the one who chooses how much.
They said whether he, this is now the president, will raise fees, that is for him to decide and we can't make that decision for him.
Yeah, they're setting him up to fall, hey? Ooh, this is a mean thing to do.
But can I ask a question here? What I mean, if you look at the global perspective or whatever, is it strange that our institutions are underfunded or is that the norm? Is that usually the norm with tertiary institutions the world over?
It's not the norm. In fact, you will find that most of the really good schools in places like America have what they call a... what is the word? They've basically got a reserve. They've got a stockpile of cash. Sometimes at Stanford or at Harvard, into the billions of dollars.
Okay, but these are Ivy League institutions.
Yeah, but I'm saying that these schools are so overfunded by alumni, ex-alumni, people who've done well and want to give money back to their universities, that they can open up a whole 6-acre campus and it won't even make a dent in the bank balance. They could fund a bunch of students for free, and it won't even make a dent in the bank balance. It's just unbelievable how much money these universities have. And are you telling me that of all the billionaires that have been produced by South African universities, some of them haven't given back? Of course they have. First of all, the universities are trying their best to manage with a limited amount of revenue. And because we've got so many students who can't afford to go to university but want to go to university, the government's put pressure on them to pay for those people themselves. So the university has to provide accommodation, provide food, in many cases provide all the books and all the resources that those students need too. This is eventually you run out of other people's money. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
That's what's happening here. So I don't know. I mean, it shouldn't be this way. It should be, universities should have lots more money, not too little. They should have lots more so that they can do things like research. And this is what pushes tertiary education forward, is when you have postgraduate people studying specific things that have not been studied before. And in South Africa, we have lots of topics that need a huge amount of attention that are not getting them. And I'm just saying this as an outside observer. I would rather have them spending 3-4 million rand a quarter on scientific research that can help us to grow crops in places like the Karoo, or to be able to desalinate water, I referred to that earlier, or to be able to, I don't know, open up the broadband spectrum to more interconnectivity between people, create new networks and things so that people can communicate more effectively. Instead, we're spending on making more lawyers, which we do not need. Please believe me. Now, do you think that's right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. If my ballet doesn't agree with me, I'm fucked.
Listen, you might have heard that there were more schools that were burnt in Vuwani recently, right?
Oh, no, you're kidding.
So the Basic Education Department says that pupils in the area have shown great courage by coming out in their numbers for the start of learning. This happened yesterday after yet another arson attack on a school in the area. You know, it just...
But what are they going to do? I mean, what are these kids going to do otherwise? They're not being brave. They're just doing what they have to do.
Well, yes, because they've really run out of options. And yeah. Some of the pictures that have been floating around are really heartbreaking. We've basically gone back to the situation of children huddled underneath a tree outside being taught by a teacher. This is what we have gone back to.
And you know, this is all to do with...
politics.
Yeah, but particularly ANC politics. This is not as if it involved the EFF or the DA. This is pure ANC politics, and it was all about who would be the councillor for those areas. And despite the people, this is where silent protest doesn't work, I'm afraid. This is where peaceful protest doesn't work. Because the ordinary people of Vuwani organized a sports day, and my heart bleeds for them. They organized a sports day on election day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So very few people from Vuwani even went to the polls. A tiny minority. But guess what? That tiny minority made the decision. And guess who they've chosen? The same ANC councillors who were at the heart of the violence. So now you cut off your nose to spite your face. And for the next 5 years, that municipality will not get any better. Mark my words, it'll get worse. So the people of that area in South Africa, the people of that district, are going to find themselves plunged backwards into history. Plunged backwards into poverty. And every child that comes out of Vuwani is going to have that much tougher a job of getting ahead. I'm not saying none of them will. I hope some of them will. There's a lot of strength and courage in places like that where people are faced with huge adversity. But the problem is, no matter how hard they try, everything is against them.
Absolutely.
And it just is heartbreaking.
It really is. Thousands of pupils in Limpopo and the surrounding areas resumed learning yesterday. This is after a three-month shutdown in protest of the demarcation of Vuwani into the Malamulele municipality. I don't know whether those who are in matric this year in Vuwani are going to be able to matriculate and to do so, you know, with good results. I don't know if a lot of them will have to repeat their matric year. But now, you know, you're talking about little 8, 9, 10-year-olds who really, you know, they didn't ask for any of this. But as you said, Gareth, they've already been put on the you know, a step behind their peers. So it's going to be that much more difficult for them to just survive and to make it through school. But all the teachers were in schools yesterday, those that are still standing. And a lot of the pupils were also in attendance. And I guess the Department of Education has called them courageous, because that's really all that they can do, right?
Yeah.
Is applaud and commend.
Well, because what else are they going to do? They can't fix the problem. It's beyond them. It's just very sad. It shows you that even in 2016, if you live in some backwater, you're still going to be held ransom by a couple of maniac politicians, and they can exact two generations of pain on you if they feel like it, because that's what effectively is going to happen here. Two or more generations of the people of Vuani are going to find themselves left in the dust while everyone around them moves forward. And we're going to be laughing at them one day when they appear in the back pages of the Daily Sun with their witches and their broomsticks and their muti and their tokoloshes, and we're going to go, ha ha ha, those people of Limpopo are so backward. And we'll forget that the reason that they think those things and the reason they behave like that is because they just don't know any better, because they've been left behind by ruthless politicians who put their own positions in government ahead of the care of that community who trusted them once. It's just appalling. It's appalling. There's no better way to put it.
And then we're also going to act surprised when one day they become fed up with their poverty and we're going to say, oh, yeah, but what's wrong with them?
But these people are so violent. Why are they so angry? Why are they so cross? Don't be so cross, people of Vuani. It's not so bad. Why are you angry? We've brought you democracy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Finally, today is D-Day for the 14 candidates that have been shortlisted to replace Thuli Madonsela. As candidates for the post of public protector prepare for their interviews today, Corruption Watch are a little bit concerned, saying that they're worried that those who come last on the list are not going to get a fair hearing. I don't know why this was decided, but all 14 candidates are going to be subjected to interviews today. This is going to begin at 7:45 a.m. and it will carry on throughout the day until around midnight. And so Corruption Watch was saying, but why did we have to do all the interviews on one day? Those guys who are going to only be interviewed at around midnight, you know, they're concerned about them.
Yeah, they don't have a fair shot at it.
They don't have a fair shot, they said.
But you know what happens? Uh-huh. You take a good and a bad. This happens in any situation where you have auditions or meetings or interviews, job applications. The people at the beginning, you're fresh and you're full of energy as an interviewer. So you listen to them and you write notes and you say, oh, they were fantastic, right? But the ones you remember are the ones at the end.
Because of short.
Yeah. So when you're busy making your short lists and you're busy deciding who goes through and who doesn't, guess whose faces you're going to recall the best? The ones most recent. So there's good and bad. Who's on the list? Just remind us of who exactly is on there that we need to keep an eye on.
Oh, okay. I'll have to actually look up that list again because it's not in front of me at the moment.
I mean, shouldn't they just make Kevin Malunga the new deputy? I mean, the public protector. He was the deputy for so long. He has experience. He's worked under Thuli.
That's what some people were saying all along.
But I see they've got a lot of different people in there. So, what's wrong?
Cold? No, I want to sneeze, but it's not happening.
You two are rather sickly at the moment.
I bought a box of tissues for nasal issues. Not good?
No, man. No, don't do this to me.
What?
No, my search has brought up that old list of when there were still 59 people. You know, people like Gerinel was still on that list, but they all rejected the... Okay, just give me a moment and then I'll locate this list at a later time. Is that fine?
Hey, Flax's computer completely seized up on him this morning. Your computer hates you. Let him just get to his microphone. How are you this morning, Flaxy?
I'm not well.
What's wrong?
I feel like my life has just crashed. My life is on this computer and it just keeps freezing. It will not start up. And if I lose what's on this computer, like I'm scared I'm going to go to the repair people later and they're going to be like, listen, we've got to delete everything on here.
Oh.
And then I'm just going to fall to my knees and cry because I haven't saved anything. I haven't backed up anything and I'm done after this.
You don't back it up?
No. I. How do you back it up?
Dude, you gotta back that up to either a what I have at home. I've got one of those airport things that stores a copy of everything that's on my hard drive for in case something goes wrong.
But does it constantly do it?
Yeah, it does it monthly or weekly or whatever. Yeah.
I need to look into that.
You do. But it's too late now if this one has to be wiped.
I'd rather my memory be wiped than this computer's memory.
Yeah, I think we would too. We'll go with that.
But I'm stressing. But I'll keep you updated what happens.
All right. Back to you, Mubs, and then we've got to get to bed.
Yeah, I found your list. Okay. Two judges on this list. All Judge right. Sirajuddin Desai.
Uh-huh. Judge. We remember Judge Desai.
Yes.
We like him.
Yeah. And then Judge Charisse Wiener. Then you've got Miss Kajal Ramjathan Kyo.
Please no, because we'll have to say that in the news so often.
Advocate Kevin Malunga, is that who you're talking
right,
about?
Right, that's the Deputy Public Protector.
Advocate Michael Mtembu, Mrs. Jill Oliphant.
All right.
Professor Nania, yes. Professor Nania Boller-Müller.
Okay, it's also too long a name, we can't have that.
Advocate Nonkosi Cetshwayo.
Okay.
Mr. Willy Hofmeyer.
Oh, right.
Miss, Advocate Chris Mukoditwa.
All right.
Professor Bongani Majola.
Okay.
Advocate Mamiki Goodman.
All right.
And, oh
that's
yeah,
an interesting
that's
one, Mamiki Goodman.
Mamiki Goodman.
Like, you think you know what's going on halfway through the name in there?
It just changes.
Yeah. All right, let's get into some sport. Thank you, Mubs. That's a look at the news. Here's Ben with the Olympics and... There's lots to talk about at the Olympics. I was watching the video that Ben sent me the other day of that female, the women's soccer goalkeeper for America, who they have now dubbed Zika. They say Zika whenever she comes onto the field.
Why?
Whenever she kicks the ball.
Hope Solo.
Because she was tweeting out stuff before the Olympics about how she was preparing for Zika. She had like... mosquito sprays and nets and repellents. And
she had like hazmat suits and yeah. She was Instagramming the stuff saying, I'm prepared for Rio. And everyone's like, bitch, please.
So they, every time she gets the ball now, you hear the whole crowd going, Zika. If you'd like to hear it, you can go and listen to the Bounce podcast from Monday and you'll hear the whole thing. All right, Ben, what do we have?
Well, Gareth, we've got a bit of good, bad and all kinds of other fun news for the Olympics today. But let's start with the Blitzbox, right? Because South Africa needs medals. Chad Leclerc and Cameron van den Berg have been the only guys who've really got those so far. And seeing as the Olympics is all about the medals, the Blitzbox now go into the semi-final. So, at absolute worst, they've got a shot at bronze. Now, they beat Australia 22-5 in the quarterfinal match yesterday. This is after losing to them 12-5 in the preliminary stages. But it's a bit of a strange grouping. Basically, if you finish in the top two in your group, and you could be the best loser if you're third, and you go into this group of eight. Anyway, long story short, SA will now play against Great Britain in the semis, and Japan have come out of nowhere, and they'll play Fiji in the other semi-final. No New Zealand. They were useless. They lost Sonny Little Williams in the first match, but they have been a bit crap the whole year, though. They've had some real struggles with injuries, and they're not the team they used to be. So it's all about the semi-final, the last four here. Japan, the big outsiders there. Great Britain, of course, is a team made up just for this tournament. In the seven leagues, there will either be England or Wales or whatever. So, the Blitzbox have got a bloody good chance here. If their A-team fires, they were very disappointing against Australia yesterday in the first match, but then they clicked against them in the second.
Oh.
So look out for that. That's going to be amazing. In not such great news, both SA soccer teams are out. But then again, I mean, are we completely surprised? I was watching some of this match this morning, right? Okay, so now, call me crass, call me what you want, but Iraq, right? What happens in Iraq?
Pecan nuts. Sorry, not pecan nuts. Pistachio nuts, carpets, dust, and occasionally a nuclear program.
And war. And all kinds of other things. And ISIS. And it's not exactly a hotbed of sport, is Iraq, right?
No. Hotbed, yes, but not of sport.
So I just got to keep... I always wonder about the... Like, I'm all about underdogs in sports and guys doing their best with limited resources. Afghanistan and cricket are a great example.
Okay.
But have we not got to the stage where we should be beating teams like Iraq? I mean, come on. I ask you with no medals in my hands. Is it too hard to... Is it too much to expect that our South African football team can beat a side like Iraq? And we see them losing to a bunch of, like, waiters and busboys in Africa all the time. Playing as amateur teams. These guys have jobs, you know? Our guys, all they do is they play football.
And they're still cuck.
Like, I watched the last 10 minutes this morning, and there was chances, and there was no composure. I mean, Kunin at the back there, poor dude, he was just shouting his face off because he was so frustrated at the lackadaisical nature of these footballers. So they drew 1-1 with Iraq, right? They scored one goal in three matches.
Oh, you said Iraq. I was thinking Iran, sorry. Yeah, Iraq, absolutely, just war and dust. Yeah.
Exactly. But hey, 1-1.
Mm. I mean, there's hardly anyone who has all their limbs in the Iraqi sports fraternity.
Yeah. So Brazil beat Denmark 4-0, so they go through in that group, and Denmark follow them after getting the drubbing. And, they go to the Final Eight, the Final Eight that will not have defending champions Mexico, nor will they have Argentina. So, bit of a shake-up there. If you like football, well, this could be interesting over the weekend for you. In cycling, that treacherous track or route around Rio's outskirts that's seen people go into hospital and lose their Olympic dreams, there was a time trial on it yesterday. And Swiss cyclist Fabian Cancellara, he won. Now, he's quite long in the tooth. He's a little bit older than me, mid-30s, and he's going to retire this year. So what an incredible way to bow out. So Chris Froome didn't get the double like Wiggins did in 2012 of Tour de France and Olympic gold.
Uh-huh.
Froome could only get a bronze.
Aww. Oh. Well, it's better than nothing.
It is better than nothing, Gareth, but when it comes to excellence, it's gold not like is the only color.
It's not like the comrades where everyone gets a bronze, you know? There's only one.
It's a real big deal for Cancellara, and he won handsomely as well. I've got to say, there's a big gap there. In other news from the pool, we're making a big deal about Phelps, right, for good reason. If you just think he's got all these medals, 21 Olympic gold medals.
Absolutely.
I think someone said that is better than 208 countries in the history of the Olympics. If you just go through, in 2004 in Athens, he won 6 gold medals. 2008 in Beijing, he won 8 gold medals. 2012 in London, he won 4. And right now, he's sitting on 3. So his next chance to go to 4 gold medals in this one, 22 gold medals overall.
He should just buy the mine.
Well, that is against Chad Leclerc in the 100-meter butterfly. So much has been made about this rivalry, and people are giving Chad Leclerc a whole bunch of stick from what happened in the 200-meter butterfly. So the bookies have Phelps at favorite, and they have Leclerc to take the silver medal. So if you want to watch this, and I suggest you do, and obviously it's going to be huge entertaining. So this will take place tonight, okay? Thursday, SA time. 7:28 in the evening, you'll see Chad Leclerc go out in his heat, and straight after that, 7:31 SA time today, lane 4, Michael Phelps will be defending his Olympic title. He's got the gold there. So basically, Saturday morning, 3:12 SA time will be the final of this race. This is like as big as it gets. With all the hype and all the fanfare around this, this is a really, really big race, and it's his last chance of Olympic medal, basically, in the pool.
Great.
While the pool's still blue, I may add. The water polo pool has gone green. The diving pool has gone green.
Oh.
But the swimming pool is still blue. Hopefully it can be green and gold come Saturday.
Have they explained why it's all gone green?
Yeah, but he's going to believe them. There's some other horse shit about algae and the pump system. And
bollocks. But they haven't said it's just the Brazilian color, like that one tweet that we had yesterday.
No, they also didn't say...
Because that sounds like a bullshit
excuse.
They
also didn't say when they're going to fix it either.
Right.
But there's some stuff happening off the field of play, so to speak, and I am trying to keep these Olympic things as positive as possible. But a media bus was stoned by a bunch of hoodlums, and a Brazilian court has actually said it's now illegal to eject peaceful protesters. So there's a whole bunch of people who are protesting for the current sort of stand-in president to be taken out. So that really, that dodgy woman who was plunging this country into all kinds of disrepair, she was kind of suspended, right?
Dilma Rousseff.
Yeah. So now this other person's come in, and so if you ever see, if you can read Portuguese or understand Portuguese, you'll see signs saying Timo out, Timo. This is the person who's replaced her, right?
Okay.
And the Brazilian public hate this person, hate them so much.
They hate all their leaders. They hate even old Lula, who seemed to have been pretty good to them.
Yeah, so, but up until now, basically soldiers have been coming into the stadiums. This one guy was peacefully watching the archery while peacefully protesting, and about 4 armed guards manhandled him out of the arena. Everyone then started chanting, Timo out, and it got quite messy. Needless to say, the archers held their nerve and carried on. So that's something that's happening on the outside. But the big story, and one isn't going to be too surprising, what's the biggest app, you reckon, in the Olympic Village?
Tinder.
Yeah, correct. So 2012, we saw a Tinder explosion. 2014 in Sochi as well, lots of Tinder. With 450,000 condoms to go through, they're not going to use themselves, right? So Tinder has skyrocketed. The usage of Tinder in the village is huge. And we think about it, okay? These athletes, they spent the last 4 years or whatever just training. Right. They haven't got time for dates.
No.
They haven't got time for this kind of stuff.
They don't even want dates now. They just want sex.
A lot of these athletes have never... actually been on proper dates.
No, they don't know how to interact with other humans. They only know their coach.
Exactly. So Tinder is like the best thing. So what they're doing is they're actually going on group dates as well. It's like a whole bunch of bandits together, and they go, okay, cool, let's go. And they all have these group dates around the village.
Javelin throwers and then, the sprinters and the basketball players.
And we said yesterday, we got some of the most fine specimens of human beings in this village right now. And Tinder is basically providing the lubricant to get this all going.
Imagine the super children who will be born 9 months from now.
Yeah, so it's a good place to be, and I'm sure the golfers are getting massive FOMO now. I mean, Ricky Fowler must be picking up left, right, and center in this place, because a lot of these athletes are just like bumbling idiots with good bodies, right? Like, Ricky's loaded. He's a multi-millionaire golfer, and these guys, all they do is golf. It's like they're kind of a drink at night. So, I mean, he's on Tinder. He's like the highest profile guy on Tinder there, and he's doing so well. So it's, wow. Well, just being an Olympic athlete in the village, Rory McIlroy must be going, oh, shit. I've really just made so many bad life choices in the last 3-4 years. Yeah, that's pretty much... no, wait. Hang on a second. This is the most horrible video, so there's no audio to share.
Just show my belly, and you can post it on The Bounce or post it on cliffcentral.com.
I tweeted it about 10 minutes ago. If you go into my Twitter profile, you'll find Armenian weightlifter, okay? European champ. Go, Mubs. Have a look.
I'm scared.
No, you've got to see this.
Andrew Nick... Karapetyan, okay, Olympic champion.
Yeah.
He lifts weights in the 77-kilogram category. He had 195 kilograms. He got it up. He was going for his clean and jerk. It was all finely poised. Went for above the head and then buckled the elbow.
No, I can't.
This poor dude, his elbow buckled. The weight then fell to the ground. Everyone kind of scattered around the area, right? His coach was obviously going to go help him. Coach could not look. Coach was basically walking towards him. It looked like he was dabbing, but he was just kind of trying to look.
It pushed his arm at the elbow joint backwards.
I just watched it again. It's...
You know, if you hold your arm out, you can't push your arm further back than a certain... Your elbow locks, right?
Oh, just crazy, crazy.
That lock was broken.
How did he take it?
Well, he was just in absolute agony, writhing in pain, and
I don't think you should be lifting that kind of weight, even at the Olympics.
Well, this is the big risk you take, you know. No guts, no glory. So his elbow is pretty buggered. I'm pretty sure he won't be on Tinder later. Well, his Tinder chances are going to be severely impeded.
Hampered,
here.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a guy in the Olympics once whose intestines got pushed through his butthole while he was also lifting
weights?
Because
he was straining so much.
Yeah, that sounds like an urban legend. Possibly could happen, though. They don't really have bum cams, though, so I think they would escape that one, thankfully.
Well,
you just say, oh, he's pulled a hamstring.
It did happen once. There's even a YouTube video.
Conspiracy theory flex.
Go watch the YouTube video, and it's the reason why, like, weightlifters wear that belt around them. It's, like, to keep their intestines in, no?
No, it's a kidney belt. It's got to do with the spine, but okay. Let's take your theory.
I'm telling you, go watch. There's a YouTube video. This dude shits his pants first, and then his guts come out.
Just a soft little soiling, and then the real show.
Oh no!
God, that's disgusting.
Oh wow! But so people who are intact and are doing well. Kyle Chalmers, right? An 18-year-old Aussie guy won the 100-meter freestyle gold medal. Imagine being 18. Imagine his Tinder score after winning
that's
gold medal
amazing.
At the age of 18.
Sure.
Jeepers, you put that straight into your bio, don't you?
But you know, you should really get a Tinder score. What you're referring to, because these are all competitive people.
Yeah.
Now, the reason Pokemon Go is a big deal is because you have a score.
Sure.
You can take on other people and win or lose, but eventually you build up a score and you try to catch them all. Now, the same should happen on Tinder. If you've had a successful hookup on Tinder, then the person on the other side and you rank each other and you get an overall rank, almost like an Uber score.
Yeah.
And if you've got 5 stars, then you are a super sex machine on Tinder.
Oh, but you don't also want a track record, though. You want to know that you've been doing this for 3 years and you've got private parts like walnut rubber.
I would want the score. I'm very competitive.
One thing you can get on Tinder is verified. So if you're like an important person, you get a little verified little tick next to your name.
Wow, so then you know if someone famous is hitting on you.
Chicks go crazy for that now.
Really?
18-year-old Kyle Chalmers just won the 100-meter gold in the freestyle.
Look out for him.
So I reckon he went from getting a couple of matches to now being just bombarded.
Sure.
He's going to get back to his room and there's just going to be everyone.
Yeah.
There we go.
This guy. And Caitlin Deke, we need to talk about her, right?
Yes.
Now, everyone's been making a big deal about Phelps in the pool, rightly so. The guy's incredible, blah, 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 blah. But this Caitlin Deke, right, she is something else. She's already won 3 golds, but she's winning races by, like, it's just, she's like another kind of creature. And like, people are actually really asking if she does have gills. Because she's like head, shoulders, and torso above so many other people. So the last gold came in the there was a relay race, and as soon as she got in the pool, it was like there was no one else.
Mm.
Wow!
I mean, she totally pulled her team through. The Americans beat the Aussies, so look out for her. I don't think she's just done just yet. That is your. I keep forgetting this. The golf pairings, the golf stars today.
Ben wants to end the sport and he keeps moving.
I keep thinking about this whole Tinder thing. I mean, there's a sport and a sport here. So if you are looking forward to the golf, which I am, this is going to be hugely exciting because it's the first time since Gary Player was, I think, in someone's ball sack that this event's actually been played. So the big pairings to look out for today will obviously be Henrik Stenson is your favorite. Local time 11:09. So he tees off in the final group.
Yep.
He'll be with Tong Chai Jai-di and Rafa Cabrera Bella, a guy who I saw win gold of a few months ago. Then the group before that will have Ricky Fowler. If he's got any energy from Tinder, he'll be playing with Justin Rose and Jonathan Vegas. Sergio Garcia will be paired with Patrick Reed and Emiliano Grillo, whose clubs just arrived, I think, yesterday. And Jaco van Zyl from South Africa, who's taken off both majors prior to this, in preparation for this, he'll be playing along with Mikko Ilonen, who joined with Gary Player yesterday, and David Hearn.
You're following Gary Player, right?
Well, he's all over the media, right?
Right.
He's there in his 80s. He's
what the fuck's he doing there?
He's the mascot / ambassador for the SA golf team.
Oh.
Yeah. Bubba Watson will be playing with Martin Keimer and...
something wrong, Ben. Is there something wrong with you? Did you have a stroke?
I'm having a stroke. Anirban Dahiri, Indian golfer, and then the final big feature group will be Master Champion Danny Willett, Matt Kuchar, and Hai Tong Lee.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are your big pairings to look out for in the golf. Wow, I'm so excited. I can't say I have a lot more. I'll save the football for tomorrow then.
All right, let's get to Anthea Gardner.
Bumbling sporting.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money.
Dollar, dollar. Dollar, dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling. Got your chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling. Patting pockets. You take the dollar, dollar. Can a damn soul stop it? Here comes the new kid on the block.
This song provided by Mark Kincaid. Thank you, Mark. Anthea, how do you like this for your intro for Thursday morning?
Oh, I do like it. That was fun.
Yeah, bling, bling, ching, ching. Let's go. All right, what do we got this morning?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to sound like a stuck record, but this Rand, I mean, unbelievable. Still trading strongly.
Let's refer to exactly where it's trading at the moment, because I think a lot of people want to know. It is absolutely amazing, but it's having a not-so-great effect on those of us who have Rand-hedged stocks, right?
Unfortunately, yes. Yeah. Bad negative effect on the portfolios. 13, the indices all in the red yesterday.
13.35 to the US dollar this morning, 17.37 to the pound, and 14.92 to the euro.
It's all great for the consumer, right? It'll help with inflation and a couple of other things. But for the stock market, not so great, I'm afraid.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, there is good news about that, though. So the stronger Rand has now got us, South Africa, as being the biggest economy on the continent.
I see that.
Yeah. So based on an IMF report from last year, which showed that our GDP was $301 billion, Nigeria's was $296 billion, and assuming kind of the currency exchange rate and the fact that the Rand has gained 16% since the beginning of the year to the dollar and Nigeria's Naira has lost a third of its value means that we are now, once again, the biggest economy on the continent.
Wow. Well, let's take a moment to bask in that short-lived glory, because it is something that we can be proud of, but it's actually as a result of no increase in our productivity. It's as a result, of our Rand. Suddenly improving against the dollar, as it has done since Brexit.
Yes, and you know how quickly the fortunes of the Rand turn, right?
So in other words, what we should really do if we want our currency to do well going forward, it doesn't matter what happens in government, it doesn't matter what happens with the growth rate, with the basic economic indicators, ignore all of that stuff. All we need for our Rand to perform is for the British to do badly. So what we should be doing is destabilizing Britain at every opportunity we get.
Oh, wow.
Don't you think?
It
seems to work for the currency.
It does work. I prefer let's become productive.
Okay. But I think
can
I do.
Go with that?
Yeah, but I still think my theory's quite strong.
Okay. It's an interesting theory.
So
tell you what, it plays well for Brait, though, because Brait reported an updated NAV yesterday, net asset value. So unfortunately, it's going the wrong way because of the weaker pound. So the first quarter net asset value was down 13%. And the largest contributor to the NAV decline, the pound, the weaker pound, I should say.
Now, I got a notice from my bank yesterday about a cash dividend with share option from Brait. Did you get that as well?
Yes, I did. I chose the cash option. What did you go for?
I haven't gone for anything.
Oh, okay.
So that probably means I'm going to get shares, right?
Well, no, you can choose. No, default, I think, is actually cash. So if you didn't do anything, they'll give you cash.
Here, listen to mine. In the event that no instructions are received, the default will be applied, i.e. option 2, brackets, shares.
Oh, right. Okay, so you are getting shares.
Yay. It's the first time I've got anything
more
from
Brait shares.
Yay. I get no cash, but I get some Brait shares. Now, what does that mean?
That means that, what's the ratio? Do you remember?
No.
So it should say for every 100 shares, you will get 86 Brait shares or something to that effect.
All right. So in other words, it'll probably end up being one or two shares. Okay.
Well, the idea, of course, is that the Brait shares will rally and that you can sell them. It'll go trade higher than where you got them.
Okay.
So they'll just suddenly appear in your account.
Okay.
Like magic.
I'll take it. Thank you. Anything that's for free these days, you've got to grab with both hands.
There you are. Unfortunately for Brait, though, I mean, there's a couple of things working against them. In their NAV statement yesterday, they did point out that New Look, you know, the UK clothing retailer?
Yeah.
So Brait owns a big chunk of that. Like-for-like sales down 7%, revenue down 4%, not great. And then they also own that Iceland business, the frozen foods business. Also not a great picture. Revenue's down 2.5% there. Although they did open 6 new stores. So, in fact, the consolidated revenue decline was only 0.6%. But then their Virgin Active still doing well. EBITDA up 14%. And then the local business they're invested in, Premier Foods, also still doing well, managing to maintain their margins in excess of 10%. So, you know, this Brait story, I think the brand's doing generally okay. The different brands they own, so New Look, Virgin, Premier, Iceland, but the pound really hurting them.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
Tough.
Yeah.
It's tough out there.
Oh, it is. Shame. Poor MTN. They fell another 2.5% yesterday. Talk about tough. I mean, the market really is not liking this story. Too much debt, too many issues, no CEO to take the company forward.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a mess at the moment, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
But then some companies did do well. Avenge yesterday closed up 5% higher. They put out a trading statement saying that their full-year headline loss, and notice it's a loss, would be lower than last year. So last year they printed a 579 million rand loss, and this year they will print between 260 and 318 million rand loss.
Oof.
It's still a big amount. But it's a company working in the construction and mining sector, so low commodity prices, low economic growth environment, it's going to be tough, right? The share's down 80% in the last 2 years.
Sure.
Now they're getting rid of some of their non-core assets, so that should help the company, actually. That it'll write down some of the debt, and it'll shore up the balance sheet. So at least we've got that to look forward to, I think. Good company, just wrong environment.
Okay.
And then Cup Industrials, whose biggest investor or shareholder is Steinhoff, announced yesterday that they're purchasing a polypropylene and high-density polyethylene business for a cash consideration of 4 billion rand. So CAP is an industrials business. They have transport, chemicals, automotive parts, and wait for it, they have a bedding business. I think they bought this last year. So they own Restonic and Vitafoam.
Oh, don't worry. They're going to come for – Steinhoff will come for that.
Well, Steinhoff already are the biggest shareholders. I think that's where it's all
right.
going.
So it's all about mattresses.
Yes. Very funny story, this. Yeah, so they're buying this business called Safripol. And in fact, the deal is immediately earnings accretive for about 17%.
Okay.
So not bad at all. Yeah. And yeah, that's it. Japan's closed this morning. There's not that much going on. But hopefully we'll see. I'm not sure it'll be a positive day, actually. I'd like to think so. But this if the Rand continues so strongly, then I think it might be another negative day on the market.
Oh, thanks, Anthea. Just when we thought things were looking up with us being the best economy in Africa again.
See, we can't have everything, can we?
No, clearly not. It is a zero-sum game.
A little bit sometimes. I do feel like that sometimes, I must admit.
All right, well, thanks for giving us an update. We will check in with you tomorrow.
Pleasure. Have a good day.
Awesome. Anthea Gardner with a look at the markets. Who have we got on the line here, Flex? Who's this?
It's a caller for Ben.
For Ben?
For Ben. His name's JT.
All right. Well, let's go to JT. A waste not a second. Ben, you happy to take a call? Sometimes he's a little bit ornery, our Ben. Yes?
Yeah, sure.
All right. JT, go ahead.
Hello. How's it going, guys?
Hello.
Great. Ben, I just wanted to commend you on your sports section.
Oh, thank you so much.
None.
Thanks,
yeah, no, it's really brilliant. I mean, I don't even enjoy golf, but sometimes I enjoy listening to you talking about golf players or F1, but I'm a big rugby and soccer fan.
Yeah, we've got rugby championship coming up, which is going to be incredible, even though the Bucks aren't going to beat New Zealand. It's going to be so exciting.
Yeah, and the other thing, what happened to Decades of History? It's been a while since he told us about a horrible person.
Yeah, it was kind of put on hold. There was a substitute section, and then, I don't know, there's other guy I work with doesn't want to do anything about it, and, you know, it gets messy, JT.
I got bored with it. I get bored with every. Okay. This is what happens to me in relationships. I move on very quickly, and then, you know, somebody goes, well, what happened to this, Gareth? And I go, huh? Who? Who is it?
Hopefully you won't get bored with Daniela.
No, I won't, but Gareth gets bored with everything. I'm not the problem here, JT. I think we've established that Gareth is.
Okay, all right, JT. Thank you.
All right, but guys, thanks for an awesome show.
All right. Thanks, sir.
My badly, have a good day.
Thank you. You too, JT.
Isn't that nice? Thank you, JT. We're going to give you the fanfare that we usually reserve for guests. That's how important you are this morning. All right, dude, thanks very much.
Garrett.
Cheers, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, cheers, guys.
There we go. There's JT. It is just about 7 o'clock, and we will catch up in a short while with Justice Malala, Burning Platform. CliffCentral.com.